All right. So why are we having this lesson? Well, these are the things I took out of it. To better understand the largest book of the Bible, to better understand how the content of Psalms is distributed through the book. This was absolutely unknown to me. Huh? I can't hear you.
The fan lights are really hard to
see. Oh, Claire, could you go turn the fan lights, these lights off for us, please?
Thank you.
So once I got into this to understand what is in this gigantic book of Psalms, it was absolutely phenomenal to learn what I've learned, to understand the importance of Psalms throughout the entirety of Scripture, because there are over 100 New Testament Scriptures that reference back to Scriptures in Psalms, and to understand the relevance of the book of Psalms to the New Testament early church. Because after Pentecost, the apostles used the book of Psalms as a prayer book and a hymnal. So the Psalms were used, as I said, as the hymn book in the Old Testament of the Old Testament Jews. Most were written by King David. 73 of the 150 Psalms were written by David. Asaph wrote the next highest number of 12. And then there were other writers, Moses, Solomon, Nathan, and the two sons of Korah, which were not named, just identified as the two sons of Korah. Scholars teach that the Psalms were all individually set to music, that they were played by orchestras and sang by choirs, which were led by Asaph as the choir director, and that it caused a stir in Jerusalem and set a culture for people to come to hear these concerts put on by the orchestras and choirs singing the book of Psalms. The compilation of the individual Psalms into one book is credited to Ezra. The word Selah appears 71 times throughout the book of Psalms, and it's believed to be a musical term, although nobody really knows what it means. They think the word means rest or pause, as in a musical rest. The book of Psalms is modeled after the Jewish Torah. Did not know this either. And it's divided into five separate books that follow the order of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Psalms mentions many of man's dispensations, the dispensations that we are familiar with, including the first and second advents of Christ, the Great Tribulation, and the Millennium. So just a few general facts. There are 150 chapters, 2,461 verses, Psalms 119 being the longest with 176 verses. It's poetic and structured like music. You'll see when we get into the first few of the charts here that the first words are often repeated throughout the psalm, like a song would, kind of like a chorus. And Psalms means the book of praises. It's divided into five separate books within the one. I already said it follows the Pentateuch, and each book has a very distinct content. So the five books within the book of Psalms are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Did anybody know this? Well, neither did I. Claire did. Well, thank you, Claire. I'm glad you knew this. I didn't know this. And the inclusive chapters that go along with each of these five books are noted in the middle column. So it's divided into content separated by these books and chapters. And Genesis, about man. It includes references to the creation, to the final eternal life of man. Exodus, national Israel, God leading Israel, and Moses is attributed to writing a couple of those psalms about Israel going through the wilderness. The sanctuary, Audrey, Leviticus, the book is about the sanctuary of God. Numbers, Israel and the Gentiles. Finally, the Gentiles get named in the book of Psalms. And Deuteronomy is all about God and his word, his majesty. So I put a few scriptures that are either the most famous from this section of the book of Psalms, or that relate to the content that it's about. So obviously Psalm 1:1, probably the most famous scriptures in the Genesis book, is blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his, man's, delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And of course, Psalm 23, even the Catholic Church follows this, you know, psalm and can recite it. Even children of all ages can recite the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I didn't have room to put all of that, so I just included those few. And it pointed out that God's counsels to man from the beginning to the end. So if you're looking for counsel of God, go to the first 41 chapters in the book of Psalm, and you can likely find what you're seeking. Exodus. So, talks about the nation of Israel, including its ruin, its redeemer, and its redemption. The redeemer being a person, and the redemption of the nation of Israel. So, chapters 42 through 72, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God, my soul thirsteth. And the underlined, there's repetitive, some of those are, not all of them, but some of them are repeated through the psalm. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Selah. Pause. The third book is Leviticus. And it includes chapter 73 through 89, talking about the sanctuary, the dwelling place of God and the place of fellowship with man. We fall down before him. And I had to paraphrase these because they were so long, but the ungodly prospered. So in this particular book, the writer, which I do believe was David, was concerned that he looked around and saw a man, you know, in his depravity prospering. God, what's going on here? So I cleansed my heart and I washed my hands, but I just didn't understand until I went into the sanctuary. Oh, feel the Spirit of the Lord. And then I understood their end. So the returns are not all in yet. We may not see the end right now, but God has an end one way or the other, with him or within eternity, within darkness. And thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? And I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all the generations. And then Numbers talks about Israel and the stranger being Egypt, or the Gentiles on earth, all of whom need a Savior. There's no differentiation. God chose the nation of Israel and the Jewish people as his people, but they needed a Savior just as much as the Gentiles do. No division there. And he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And I included Psalm 106:7 as a reference back to the fact that it talks about Egypt. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but they provoked him at the sea, even the Red Sea. And then lastly, The book of Deuteronomy, the fifth book, talks about God and his word. Blessings and obedience are related. You don't get the blessing without the obedience. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of course, that's repeated multiple times. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, because they rebelled against the words of God, thy words, O God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High, or scorned the counsel of the Most High. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments, and one that I love so much. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. I ran out of room there. And that's the end of this presentation. I just felt it was so odd the way that it happened, and yet something that I certainly learned from. Oh, yeah, we need to switch this now to the, would you mind, Audrey, switching it to the next part? Because now I have a sort of different presentation of sorts. How many know that God instituted government? It was his idea. The scripture says that he sets up governments and he takes them down at his will. And this blessing and judgment of God was demonstrated throughout scripture from beginning to the end. And additionally, there was not a division between God's chosen man to be the king as well as being the spiritual ruler. Basically, the temple and all of its employees worked for the king. They were all one. So here's the deal. I am participating in a Christian leader group called Peaceably Gather. And this group has been featured on Fox News, The Washington Times, The Blaze, The Stream, and more. And it is simply a group of pastors and leaders who have a heart for America. Today, May 17th, these leaders are all reading the same thing that I'm going to read to you. Standing in their pulpits or out in the open, wherever it is that they're gathering today, and many, many, many. Don already mentioned that 500 were signed up to do this, and now over 5,000 are doing it today. People know they need to be together worshiping God. So I'm going to be reading, it's a short amount of reading, from the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. The readings are going to be filmed. That's why Don's working on this. And then that portion of the film is going to be sent to a central administrator who's going to compile them all into one huge montage and send it to Fox News, who is running a story on this tomorrow evening or afternoon. I don't yet have the time that this is going to be on, so I'm not sure. But I just want to say, I believe in America. I believe in its foundations. I believe in the reason we're here, which is to worship God. And I believe in God's sovereignty over America. But I also believe that America's in a crossroads like we have never seen in any of our lifetimes, between holding on to those godly foundations or taking a different road, and that this is the most important we will ever, ever take. And that's why I'm going to take the time to stand here and read this for you today. And I hope it is a good remembrance and a blessing to you. This is from the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths. If somebody wants to move this, because I can't read and do this at the same time. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. These are not my words. We therefore, appealing to the supreme judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And now from the United States Constitution, the preamble. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Article 4, Section 2. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in the several states. Article 4, Section 4. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this Union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against domestic violence. Article 6, Section 6. This Constitution shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. The First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures, shall not be violated. The Fifth Amendment, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. The Ninth Amendment, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. The Tenth Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And finally, the 14th Amendment. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. We do have rights, and they were given to us by our founding fathers, and I appreciate those rights. Let's stand. Father, we thank you today for your presence and your power among us. We thank you that we are your people and you are our God. And we thank you that you established us in this wonderful country with these laws based on your foundation. And we stand for them, Lord, today. Each as an individual with the right to be here, to gather, to worship your name. Thank you for meeting us here today, Lord. We pray that you would go with us this week, be with each and every one. We thank you, Lord, for the provision that you've made for Brother Arden to go to his family. I pray, God, that your hovering angels would escort him out of the building and into his son's care and all the way home. Be with him today, Lord. Be with Henry today, God. Help him to understand why we can't be with him, why his family can't be with him. And I pray, oh God, even more that you bring an end to this lockdown. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Amen.